I were with you every Sunday, we would sing Be Thou My Vision, just because I do truly love that hymn. It's a joy to be with you. It's been a long time since I've worshiped with you, and I'm just excited to be here. And I recognized as I walked in, I feel like I've got so many friends here, hopefully all of you. I walk in and there's Harold, one of our great volunteers at Chrislyn. I see Bob, a pastor that we've traveled the same roads for many decades, and now we share each other's love of wood turning. Along with Linda and I, we have that common aspect with Bob. Jeanette popped up here somewhere. I haven't seen her for years. It's such a joy. Bill, worked with in many different ways over the years. And Miranda, what a great person you have here. She did a fantastic job at Chrislyn the years. One of the high points of my life was riding around Chrislyn on the John Deere Gator, giving an orientation on the use of a steering wheel. She did a great job. She's come a long way, I'll bet. Susan picks on me, but I need it as I go into the Presbytery office and use the library there. So many friends, and I'm sure new ones, as I worship with you. It's a joy to be here, and I'm pleased for the invitation. The scripture this morning is from the lectionary. The lectionary is a series of scripture readings over a three-year period. Gospel, Paul's letters, Old Testament, Psalms. I use it most Sundays that I lead worship. I use it because it's a discipline. I could tend to be lazy and only spend my time in the passages that I'm comfortable with. But when I open up the lectionary for a given Sunday, I say, where is God speaking to me? Words that I can share with the people that I'll be with. And so today, I looked at the lectionary, and Mark's gospel jumped out at me. And I read it, and I said, ouch. This is a tough teaching. This is a hard to understand teaching. But there it was. And if I truly believe in the discipline of the lectionary and the vastness of the scriptural passages, I got to live up to what I believe. And so here we are, folks, with Mark 10. It's in your bulletin, which is a wonderful, wonderful gift that you have, that you can have the scriptures right in front of you, and let's follow along as we hear this teaching. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Here ends this, the reading of the gospel message. Okay. How do we approach this passage? We're rich. What does this passage say to you and to me? First off, this passage is difficult. To understand what Jesus is really saying, it's pretty clear to this rich young ruler. But what's it saying to you and me? One of my hopes in every time I deliver a message, I so often mention that this is only the beginning of understanding this passage. In your case, take this bulletin home. Put this page of the scriptures beside your comfortable chair. Hang it on the refrigerator and wrestle with it in this coming week. This is only a beginning, and this is only my attempts to speak to this passage, but it's got to speak to you, and you need to listen. So my hope and prayer is that this scripture goes home with you, and that you live with it in the coming days. All those teachings that Jesus shares with us, turn the other cheek. How many times in your life have you been slapped in the cheek? In that you are disciplined enough to turn the other cheek? My guess is probably not many. But is that teaching relevant to our lives? You're to go the second mile. How often have you found yourself in a circumstance where you need to walk another mile with someone? There you might have been in a situation where you needed to go a few miles to get gas for a car that's empty. You run to the store to help someone get a prescription. But does this teaching of Jesus speak to you? and to me. And so we come to this passage, which has been misused and misunderstood for centuries within the faith. It wouldn't be hard to go around and look on your TV directory and find those that are speaking on this passage that are encouraging you to do just literally what this passage says, particularly to their ministry. But what about us? Let's look, and I encourage you to kind of keep the scriptures in front of you. We have this story. Now, this is a wealthy, powerful ruler. Other gospels call him young. So he's really on the fast track. And he comes to Jesus. And the disciples, with not a penny to their name. And he runs up to them. Number one, in those times, you did not run. The great powerful imagery in the prodigal son is when the prodigal son returns home, the scriptures say the father ran down the road to greet him. No self-respecting man would run because you would show the ankles and the lower leg. Far beneath anything you would ever do. This man ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees. You're getting the picture. This powerful, young, rich man kneels at this itinerant, impoverished preacher. Good teacher, high respect. Good teacher, I have a concern, a question. What should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus doesn't answer that question. He raises a much more important question for that man. Why me? Why are you asking me? Only God can do that. And Jesus once again reminds those around him of what he's about. He is the Son of God. Now, at this point, in my mind at least, here comes this young man, falls on his knees, asks the question, but broaden out the camera lens. And there, circling around, are the disciples. Not surprised, because every day would have been a surprise for them, but there they stand and they watch this in front of themselves. What's going on? Then the Ten Commandments get reiterated, all those do's, and then the one that do nots, and then the one do about honoring your father and mother. Oh, I've done that. I've done it since I was a child. That's already checked off, Jesus. And in the midst of this, that little phrase, Jesus loved him. As you think of this story up to this point, is he lovable? Or is he arrogant? Is he throwing his weight around, but yet he appears humble? What's going on here? Well, Jesus knew. This was a seeker, a one who was trying to understand life and had come to some conclusion that this man called Jesus was an important part of his life. And so he comes to him, and the only way he knew how, brusquely and confrontationally, and said, "How do I inherit eternal life?" And then he got the answer. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. the scriptures say he went away sad. But now, let's keep back to that scene. There's the disciples who have given up their fishing businesses, their family connections, whatever. And they say, well, who can? Only God. Peter, always Peter, jumps in and talks about, what about us? Well, look what we've done. Can we have the assurance that that fellow was looking for? And then Jesus goes on with the tough teachings about first and last. And if you do give up the blessings, and he translates them into terms that they would understand. Family that they had given up. Fields that they had given up. Businesses that they had given up. And he teaches them. Imagine being a disciple. Imagine sitting there, standing there, watching this play out. And what would they come away with? They come away with a teaching from Christ that you need to be willing to focus, discipline your life towards God. And listen to the teachings of Christ. And live those teachings. And find out what in your life is in the way of doing that. And that's the question you should address to yourself this coming week. Security, comfort, an overwhelming indulgence in this or that. I love to stay busy. I love to be engaged at Chrisland. I loved being out here with you. I love being with family. I love doing wood turning and talking to Bob about that. But I have to be careful in all that wonderful activity. How close am I to the scriptures? How close am I to moments of prayer? How do I, when I'm interacting with all the different responsibilities, am I really sensitive? Or am I like Peter? Wait, what about me? Look what I'm doing. That's the question that this scripture prods us into grasping. These short minutes can only lead us in a closer walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. He cares for us. He's the very reason that our lives are rich and with promise. But he challenges us. He says, here you are. This is in the way. Get rid of it. And if we hear that message from our risen Lord, if we understand what riches can really come to us, we don't walk away sad. St. Augustine offered a prayer, and it is, give me the grace to do as you command. And command me to do what you will. Let's hear that again. Give me the grace to do as you command, and command me to do what you will. Amen. Let us pray. As we gather, O Lord, in this beautiful sanctuary, as we're a part of the fellowship, your fellowship, we are here because you have called us, and we gather. And our prayers are for those who are unable to be here, to those who travel far away, to those that face health issues, other health-related issues. We pray for them. We pray, O Lord, for this, your very church on this corner, this place, this time, for the leadership, as they move and all move through this time of transition. Oh Lord, we come before you just like that rich young ruler, seeking answers to questions that we wrestle with. And as we kneel before you, O Lord, we see that you love us, and for this we are blessed and we praise you. In the days to come, may we sense that blessing when we move out into the world and face whatever challenges, opportunities that lie ahead. May we walk with you. Our prayers reach out, O Lord, to those that have suffered such tragic consequences of the hurricanes. May we respond by supporting aid agencies, our own church or others. Our prayers reach out to those that serve our nation in difficult, dangerous, and confusing places. We pray for them and their families that wait at home. We lift up with thanksgiving and we praise our Lord, the ministry that we've seen of the young folks in this congregation. What a blessing when they minister to us. Nothing, O Lord, in our lives and in this world is or should be separated from you. May we walk closely with you, our loving Lord. Amen. Shall we rise, share together the affirmation of faith? Many centuries ago, the church, under times of persecution, decided to say, "This is what we believe," and this is what they believed. And we share with them in this moment. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And O Lord, hear us, we pray, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing.